Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we have got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and we want to welcome on board our newest sponsor, Johnny's RV, the home of the sweet deal.
Well,
and Johnny said that's the way he wanted it said.
You know, Johnny says, and Tom does.
So, oh, well, yeah, Johnny said, Johnny's writing the check, baby.
There you go. But you are doing a great deal with that. But, hey, we want to thank all our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106. So we're, hey, check us out on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com as well. Coming up later this hour on SBN, we'll be joined by Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. He'll get us up to speed on the happenings for veterans in the area, including a very special remembrance for our Vietnam veterans coming up on the 29th. That's just a few days away. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on Keep 'Em Separated. You know, so stay tuned.
Yeah, 6 feet
stay
apart.
Tuned for the fireworks.
6 feet apart. Oh, no, 3 feet apart now.
Hey, who knows? Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, we're going to have Sister Mary Margaret walking around with the yardstick.
I know, slapping them on the back of the little hand.
You never had that happen, did you, Tom?
Oh, hell yeah. I had blisters. I had blisters, man. What you talking about? I can remember.
Yeah, they had to have multiple yardsticks for you, huh?
They got a new one every day. And Phil, Phil was on. He's on the same page. They whipped. I was saying, Pius, but your sister beat the hell out of him, too.
Well, you know, hey, at least they weren't putting you in cages with butterflies on the walls.
Oh, no, man, because we didn't have them kind of blankets back then.
There you go. And there were no butterflies.
No butterflies either, baby. No.
But anyway, if you have survived the floods, it's great to have you with us. We are going to start things with one of our sea lawyers from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Jennifer Berg. Jennifer, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans and military.
Thanks for having me back, guys. That's been an interesting conversation, y'all, talking about cages and butterflies here.
Watch it now. Come on. Watch it, Cal. We got our lawyer on here, man. She might be taking notes.
Know nothing.
I know nothing. Yes. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But
you
know what?
Thanks for having me back, y'all. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a blessing to have you on board, Jen. All of the things that you guys are doing at, Gardberg and Kimberly's down there, just unbelievable. And, while I'm getting some of my stuff lined up here on my computer, how about give us a start on some of the areas that you'd like to get into?
Well, we hear so many bad things. I thought maybe we could start with a little bit of good news.
Hell yeah. Let's get a big dose of that.
Crazy stuff going on. So back in April 2020, then President Trump issued this order saying that all the executive branches had to take whatever administrative action necessary to assist those that are economically impacted by COVID-19 mess. So for the VA, that meant that they weren't going to collect on any medical copayments, and they weren't going to send any bills to veterans who may owe for copayments or for benefit overpayments. But y'all know, we all say VA owes y'all money. We don't want y'all owing the VA any money. So for us, yeah, that was a good thing. The problem was that it actually expired in January. So thankfully, now they're going to extend that a little bit, and hopefully until about September of this year, that's going to stay in place. And the VA said it's supposed to let all the veterans know whatever details of current debt they may owe and a way to pay those debts back, or if they want to seek financial relief from paying those debts, they're going to give them a way out of it. So just want all of our veterans to be on the lookout. If you're in that situation, it can be really expensive. Pay attention to what the VA sends you, because God knows we don't want to have to pay the VA back anymore.
Well, are we seeing a lot of that, Jennifer?
Yes. Yes. And a lot of times it's not necessarily correct, which is stuff that we deal with. And of course, we talk to our clients a lot about making sure you notify the VA properly when you get married or your dependents change, so that you don't have one of those overpayment situations. But the VA definitely will come after you to pay that money back. So if you're in that situation, it's nice that that's kind of suspended right now while this economic impact is going on.
I'm going to throw this in there. I had an occasion for one of my Marines to be involved in one of those scenarios from the Marine Corps League. Mm-hmm. And he was getting about $1,000 or so a month, and he did this for I don't know how many years. But all of a sudden, undoubtedly it was illegal, because he got a bill from the government that he had to pay back something like $40,000+. And the guy had burned through all that stuff, because he thought that was all his money, would not question it or anything. And honest to God, he later took his life. Because he just physically, mentally couldn't handle it.
Well, I would ask any of our veterans that are in that situation and they feel like that is going on and they feel overwhelmed by it, please contact us. Let's see if we can help you. There's just no sense in having to go through this on your own by any means. We definitely want to be there to help our veterans if we can, and especially in those situations.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you, and I think we've run into it recently here too. I'm still shuffling some of my paperwork around here to get into your area. So, Cal, are you there?
Cal? Oh, yeah, I'm here.
All right, you got Jennifer's notes. Go ahead with her interview for just a little bit. Let me finish my get my computer up and running.
Well, that's good timing, Cal, because this actually is something, this next one is something you brought to my attention.
Okay, there you go.
Well, and I saw that you had it posted on there. I saw this and I thought it was kind of serendipitous, because we've been talking a lot about burn pits. Mm-hmm. And of course we're looking at the impact on our veterans health wise, but this story actually popped up and it could have some fairly significant ramifications for our veterans when it comes to employment.
Yes. There is a similar lawsuit that's going on in Florida like this that I kind of had heard about, but I had not heard about this one. And this is involving Army Captain Leroy Torres. And so just so your listeners can get a little bit of an idea, Torres was deployed to Iraq in 2007, returned in 2008. While he was there, he was at Joint Base Balad, Camp Anaconda. So most everyone knows that's near one of the worst sites for the burn pit exposure. And when he came back, he had some major pulmonary and respiratory problems, including something called constrictive bronchiolitis, and it causes this major scarring on the lungs. And he also had some cognitive issues because of this exposure to burn pits. And the thing about Torres, he had actually been a Texas state trooper for 14 years prior to that deployment. So when he came back, he thought he was going to be able to just come back and, you know, go back into his job. Unfortunately, because of the disabilities that he now has, because of the burn pit exposure, he couldn't do everything that he could before. He couldn't ride along in the cars. And so he said, look, gave them a memo, said, look, this is all the things that I'm capable of doing. Was even willing to do a desk job just so he could continue to be a state trooper. And he was told that in order for him to apply for disability retirement, he had to resign. So he did, and then they turned him down for disability. The state rejected his application. So he just fought for years for this. They finally filed this lawsuit against the state, and it's under something called, and this is some legalese for you, the Uniform Services Employment and Reemployment
Jennifer,
Rights Act. Yeah, can you hear me?
Hey, Jennifer, we are headed into a break. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break with you, okay?
Sounds good. I'll finish telling y'all about that.
Sounds great. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
We fight our country's battles in the air, on land, and sea.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You got to do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up via most of the major podcasting sites. And Tom's Tirade is up via castbox.fm. And we are speaking with one of our legal eagles from the law firm of Gard, Berg and Kimmerly, Ms. Jennifer Berg. Jennifer, again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting our veterans. And prior to the break, we were discussing the story of Army Captain Leroy Torres and that his exposure to burn pits and how that affected him when he returned. So let's pick up where we left off.
I sure will. And sorry I ran over a little bit. You know, get talking about these things that affect our veterans, it gets me a little hyped up a little bit, especially this case for Captain Torres. So he filed this lawsuit against the state of Texas under something called USERRA. And this USERRA is a federal law that protects civilian employment of service members. But the problem was that Torres was employed by the state of Texas, and so Texas said that they were immune from his lawsuit, and they won at all the lower courts. And I think
Jennifer, can I jump in there?
Sure.
USERRA, isn't that the same law that if if you're a reservist and you get deployed, whether or not you're, I didn't realize that there was a limitation as to who you were employed by, whether it was a civilian company or state or federal government, but basically they can't give someone else your job while you're gone. It's that kind of protection.
That is correct. The problem is that it protects civilian employees. And so what happened is because he worked for the state of Texas, they said they were immune. They didn't have to follow this law. And they were immune from being sued under it because in order to sue under it, you have to have permission, and of course they had not given permission. There are only a handful of states that actually give permission for service members in government jobs to sue, and some of those I think are South Carolina and Tennessee. I don't know the full list, but there's only a small handful. I do know that states are closely watching this case because it will affect them tremendously. One of the reasons that this is such a huge victory for veterans, and I guess I should finish telling, this has gone all the way to the United States Supreme Court now. And the United States Supreme Court has invited the United States government to act, the acting Solicitor General, actually, to file a brief expressing what the views of the United States are. And this is such a big deal for veterans that are in this position, because if he wins this, this will mean that any veteran is going to be protected by USERRA, whether they work for the state government or not. That's kind of what happened to, I told you there was a case in Florida that's similar. This guy in Florida was had to go to multiple deployments and came back to a hostile work environment because he had been deployed. And it was with the Florida state government, and so he couldn't sue either. So it'll open up a huge range of protection for our veterans if this actually goes and goes before the United States Supreme Court, and he wins, especially.
Well, it certainly does sound as though it's a very important case, not only for veterans that may have been exposed to burn pits, but as you said, veterans that may have multiple deployments. And, you know, those laws are there to try to protect their job in the real world, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But isn't it funny how governments figure out how to exempt themselves from the laws that they write?
Well, there's a lot of laws that are done like that. One of them is the Federal Tort Claims Act, that you can't sue the federal government for torts. Like, say, if you go to a VA hospital and they commit malpractice, there's a special way that you have to sue them. You can't just sue a regular malpractice case like you would for other doctors. So, yeah, it's very interesting that they've limited their liability. But I think that the future of these cases are being determined left and right, and I'm interested to see how this one turns out for sure.
Well, and if nothing else, it might bring enough exposure, sorry to use that word, to this law that Congress might actually have to get off its duff and do something.
You say what?
Well,
Congress?
Yeah. That's the magic word you just said, Cal.
Yeah.
Congress? Do something.
Are you kidding?
Look, I want to point out, too, this is something I haven't said yet. Torres and his wife created the nonprofit Burn Pits 360 in 2011, and they have spent the last decade advocating for all of the veterans that have been exposed to these burn pits since post-9/11 wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he's done a lot of good. So this is a high-profile case in a lot of different areas. So it's going to gain exposure, and it's going to shine a light on it, whether he wins or not. So this is a very important case to watch.
Outstanding.
Sure.
Well, I know that you will keep us up to date on how things play out with this. Now, we've done the good news. We've got some good publicity. And now we're going to move on to the not so good news.
The not so good news. That's right. So we've talked before with y'all about the fact that we had three new presumptions added to Agent Orange in January 2021 under the NDAA. And it was fantastic. Just to recap for your listeners, bladder cancer, hypothyroidism, and Parkinsonisms were finally added. There was a lot of cheering because this is a huge deal. I mean, people have been fighting for a long time to have these added. The problem is what we're hearing, the VA is not going to start processing those claims because they're so new, they don't have, quote, regulations in place yet. And so they're just sitting there.
In other words, the people that are supposed to know everything don't know enough, don't know anything.
Well, does that surprise you?
Hell no. You know, what else is new?
Well, you know, I want to warn our veterans that if they have any of these conditions, even if they hear this, they've got to go ahead and file anyway. If they don't have any of these conditions that are pending already, go ahead and file it. If at any point they have filed previously, they need to point out to the VA, hey, look, I've filed for this before, and then stay on top of the VA so that they will process these claims, because I think it's clear that they're going to be processed, and the more pressure we put on, I think the quicker they'll be processed. I know that we have multiples that we have filed in our office, and we're just keeping a close eye on them, hoping that they will be processed sooner rather than later.
Well, Jennifer, when it comes to the Parkinsonism, that's such a, you know, that the definition of that is so nebulous that I'm sure there are many veterans out there that may be wondering, okay, you know, when do I decide I want to file for something like this, just because maybe I'm, you know, just not as spry as I used to be.
Right. And, you know, they can definitely contact us and go through those, but I get asked that question a lot. So Parkinsonisms is a term that's used, basically describes a collection of signs or symptoms that are usually related to Parkinson's disease. So it could just mean this certain type of slowness or stiffness, the tremors, the imbalance, but it also could be the stiff muscles, some prominent memory loss, difficulty swallowing. There's a whole range of issues that are considered Parkinsonisms, and put together, they don't actually add up to a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, but they do have some of the same characteristics. And so if you have any of those symptoms or signs and you have Agent Orange exposure, you definitely need to file for this.
Okay. So just in case you tripped up three flights of stairs and the wind was blowing really briskly, that shouldn't be a reason for you to file.
No, not necessarily. But let's say that you're consistently tripping up the stairs and your hand's shaking when you're going to grab the rail. Maybe sometimes you're having some difficult time remembering stuff. That might be enough, you know, and it's something you talk to your doctor about, too. But we have a lot of veterans that had a lot of these symptoms that did not realize that they fell under what would be considered a Parkinsonism that would fall under this presumption.
Great.
It's pretty broad,
so
but it's a good one.
So that's just something
folks
need to go ahead and get in touch with you.
Yes, absolutely. The sooner you, we say this all the time, the sooner you file, the better it is for you.
Okay, and we're up against the break, Jennifer, so where can folks get in touch with you?
Contact us at Garber & Kimberly at 251-343-1111, or you can always get us at garberglaw.com.
Thank you, ma'am. Great job.
Ms. Jennifer Berg.
Thanks,
from
guys.
The law
Y'all
firm
have a good
of
night.
Garber and Kimberly. Yes, on the other side of the break, Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council, when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Minds of men fashioned a crate of thunder, sent it high into the blue.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
I've been a soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we're going to be talking with Mr. Lou Lartigue here in just a moment, but we want to thank those that helped make the show possible.
We certainly would. We'd like to thank all these fine people that continue to work with us, such as the battleship USS Alabama, Memorial Park, R.C. Lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly. We certainly enjoyed having Jennifer on with us tonight. Very informative. Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And we want to welcome on board our newest sponsor, Johnny's RV and Premier Boat Dealership, the home of the sweet deal. Woo! You can turn me loose now. Quit squealing.
I noticed that you added the boats. I didn't know. Is that something you added in the last couple of days?
I added it because I just remembered it. But
okay, do they specialize in any arcs?
No, but I'm working on that. You know, I got the plans on the last one. You know, I helped Noah build that one.
There you go. Because if it keeps raining, we're going to need it.
I know it. Just keep on all this rain like we had here today. Golly. We're going to have to buy a big pontoon boat or something, you know, and break out the cool ones or, you know, some of these, you know, modified milkshakes or something, you know.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that Marines already had have webbed feet.
Oh, I know, baby. Hey, we got our own crayons too.
No, they've been trying to take the crayons away.
Tony. I know, it makes me so mad, man. I just got these new pointed ones, and I like them. But you know, we had to improvise and overcome. I've been using a pocket knife to, you know, to sharpen the ends on them for a couple of years.
Oh yeah, well I know some Marines. They just chew the ends off of them.
Oh, I know, you know, and chew them up and spit them out. But that stuff tastes bad. I tried that.
Yeah, I don't know if, I think the green ones were the bad ones.
Oh, is that? Oh, you know all about that, huh? The green ones? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
they
like
teach
the,
you to
yeah,
eat those first in boot camp because everything's mean green, you know?
There you go. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, it's. I was about to say, it's kind of like the MREs. You know, there were always special ones that you wanted to try to get.
All right, come on. We're burning lose time here. Let's go.
Anyway, hey, it is an honor to be joined by veteran and patriot Mr. Lou Artigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council. Hey, Lou, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on, Cal. Tom, I was just rummaging around looking for my crayons. I can't find any right now.
You get those. They issue those to the Army when they retire.
They took them away from me, man.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Hey, look, let's get serious here for a minute, though. Damn it, I don't want to, but it is what it is. But, yeah, hey, it's National Vietnam War Veterans Day here in 2021. What are we going to have locally that you know, to recognize all this, Lou?
Well, I guess, you know, on the 29th, this next Monday, is been recognized by the 2017 Vietnam War Recognition Act as the National War Veterans Day.
Right.
We've been celebrating it as kind of the end of the war. It's on the 29th because that's the kind of the, it was the last day that that the prisoners of war were actually out of Vietnam and on American soil, and the last combat troops were out.
Right, right.
So some people have a problem with that, but as far as I'm concerned, the day is not the important
thing.
It's
not the important
thing. It's the recognition
right.
That's being observed.
Right. Yeah, in that, you know, we had 9 million Americans served during that time, and then, you know, and 58,000 that, you know, whose names are memorialized on the wall in D.C. that lost their lives, and we had over 300,000 that were wounded, man. We still got MIAs and POWs that haven't shown up yet.
Yes, exactly right. And of the 2.7 million servicemen that did serve in Vietnam, you know, we're getting a little long in the tooth as
we
go.
Hey, man, watch it now. Watch it now.
We want to make sure we pass on the recognition that they deserve, and we're doing that Monday, and we're going to do it in the true military sense. We're going to be out there at 7 o'clock in the morning, right after daylight.
Oh,
and,
700.
And we're going to have a short celebration, if you
right.
will, and we're going to have a opening and an invocation, and we're working, SAVC is working with Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 701 here in Mobile, and 864 in Bowen County, or in Fairhope, to make this thing happen. Of course, with the Marine Corps League is helping us out.
Right.
And we're going to do Marine Corps League is going to do a flag lowering and a flag raising
right.
the half staff,
right.
and we're going to present a wreath to at the wall over there. And bow taps,
right?
And then we got our guest speaker, Mr. Colonel Pat Downing, is going to
awesome.
Talk for a few minutes.
Awesome gentleman.
And
yes.
And then we'll take a you know, just discuss what's on everybody's mind, and then head down to Ed's Seafood Shed for a no host breakfast at 8 o'clock.
Fantabulous seafood shed. Yes, I love that. Yeah. But, you know, that's neat. Now, will the flag raising and all, will it be at the Vietnam Memorial at the Battleship Memorial Grounds? Or?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It will. It'll be right there on the grounds, right next to the Korean War. Of course, the Vietnam War memorial there.
Okay.
And it'll be right off to the side of it, and we'll be set up there and ready to go at 7 o'clock. So we'd like everybody to come out. It's going to be short and sweet. And if the weather turns south on us, we will just adjust.
Okay. Will we be able to move into the building if necessary?
No, I don't think so. The physical plant for the battleship doesn't open until 8 o'clock.
That's right, 0800, right.
And okay. So we will take and make that a decision on the ground at the time.
Okay.
But I think, like you said, it's a time that we recognize all of those, the 58,000 plus that memorialized on the wall in D.C. and didn't make it back. And, of course, like you said, that 304,000 that were wounded,
right,
and 1,253 MIAs and the 2,500 POWs, you know.
Okay.
All those guys have got to stay in the forefront of our mind and our thinking. As we go through other conflicts, you know, that was our 20 years. And we're going to celebrate this Veterans Day, Vietnam War Veterans Day, up until 2025. And that will end the 50-year period that we were there. So,
okay. We have about a minute left. I got a question I want to ask you.
Okay.
We have so many American Legion posts, VFW posts, and Marine Corps League detachments, and all around. With the COVID, we've had a lot of them that have been shut down and all. Do you know as to whether or not we are losing any of these organizations and their facilities?
Some of the, luckily as I know it, we haven't lost any in the districts down here in South Alabama that
okay.
I know of.
I've talked to the state commandant with the Marine Corps League, and to my knowledge and his knowledge, we haven't lost any Marine Corps League detachments as well.
We've had a couple of posts that had to shut the doors. They still meeting, but they shut the doors to their canteen or their home post.
All right.
Just because they just couldn't afford to keep it open.
I understand.
And, you know, and all the expense. But I think they're surviving, but it's a thin line.
It sure is. Lou, appreciate having you on board. Looking forward to seeing you at 0700 Monday morning.
All
and
right.
The Marine Corps League detachment will be there with the bugler and the flag detail.
Outstanding. We appreciate it, Tom. Thanks, Cal. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take
this break, and we shall return.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The plight of children who accompany their parents illegally across the border into the United States has captured the attention of the press the past few weeks in the latest attempt to distract the American people from the successes of President Trump and the abject failure of the Obama administration, along with its progressive partners in Congress, to pass any type of immigration reform during his 8 years in office. Instead, politicians and their media puppets continue to lambast the longtime practice of separating children from their criminal parents, mainly into foster care or other temporary housing situations, while their parents are detained. To fix the root problem, aliens entering the country illegally would both remove a progressive talking point used to garner votes and expose the progressive left as nothing more than advocates for open borders and an end to a sovereign United States. Many of these, such as Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democratic senator from New York, are really nothing more than closeted communists. Gillibrand is perhaps among the most dangerous of their ilk, wrapping herself in the flag of feminism and equality while advocating for policies that in time will destroy the Constitution. Just remember, Gillibrand was the political voice behind the faux military sexual assault epidemic, spouting statistics designed to shock the average American into thinking that there was a rapist behind every $1,000 toilet seat, when in reality the percentage of assaults in the military were far less than those in the general population. For more details on the numbers, check out my tirade. Just President Obama, there is a rule of law from 5 years ago. That is how long Gillibrand has been spewing her particular style of anti-Americanism. The true purpose of her witch hunt had less to do with rooting out rapists and more to do with erasing the chain of command from the UCMJ. In other words, destroying traditional law and order in America. So the spectacle of kids in cages like something from an ASPCA commercial was the perfect progressive propaganda piece. You halfway expected Democrats to start running ads to raise money. For just $19 a month, you can help us talk more about how bad President Trump is for enforcing a law passed by Democrats under Bill Clinton. Then again, who hasn't been under Bill Clinton?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Bad top cat. Anyway, in what is yet another nothing to see here scandal, the actual number of children separated from their parents has been estimated to be somewhere in the range of 3,200. Progressives claim that this is the utmost and inhuman treatment of kids. Of course, these are the same folks who thought that it was a good policy to send Elian Gonzalez back to communist Cuba. They claim that these children are being unjustly punished because they are here only because of their parents who made a choice to drag them from an innocent slumber south of the border and invade the capitalist utopia to the north in search of a better life on the Democratic plantation. However, their claims of wanting to reunite these families on humanitarian grounds ring false when they fail to recognize that the parents of these kids, now being clothed, fed, and sheltered by your tax dollars, chose to cross the border knowing that what they were doing was illegal and that separation was a very real possibility. They will cry that it was not the fault of the Chicos v. Chicas, but their parents. And the poor things should not have to suffer because of their parents' bad choices. Really? You're going to use such a pathetic emotional argument to denigrate the laws and sovereignty of our country? Well, of course you will, because that is your true purpose. Nonetheless, if we want to take that approach, then why are these bleeding hearts not decrying the separation of American families at the hands of law enforcement? Putting a child in temporary housing or foster care when their parent engages in illegal activity is standard practice, even for U.S. citizens. A bit of information that's been largely ignored is that there are a large number of American children who've been separated from their parents and placed in foster care when their parents are incarcerated. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, an estimated 20,939 American children were put in foster care when a parent was incarcerated in 2016, and a whopping 166,000 were removed from their parents simply due to neglect. I would offer that the children of parental illegals fall into both categories. But you won't hear the progressives lament these children because to do so would equate the illegal alien parents of those separated with criminals and deadbeats, which they are. Instead of being valiant providers seeking nothing more than a new life for their future democratic socialist voter, you also won't hear progressive moaning about the over 300,000 innocent children literally ripped from their mother's womb by the infanticide providers at Planned Parenthood, of no hopes with being reunited with a loving parent. Moreover, you will never hear from them mention the over 700,000 U.S. children who are separated from their parents right now because one or both of their parents made a choice to sacrifice and serve their country in our armed forces. That's right, over 700,000 children will go to bed tonight separated from their parents because the parent volunteered to defend this nation from the illegals that voluntarily cross our borders, defy our laws, and place their children in harm's way through their actions. But you won't hear Gillibrand or Schumer or Pelosi, I hate to even say that word, crying for these children because to do so would highlight the stark differences in the actions of their parents. Red-blooded American patriots serving to protect our freedoms versus illegal alien criminal parasites looking to destroy the system of government which allows for the same. They won't bemoan the flight of these American children because at their heart they despise our military and all for which it stands. They mock those in uniform, believing them to be uneducated and unworldly deplorables. To them, the children of those in uniform deserve the hardship because their parents likely will never vote Democrat, or progressive, or socialist, or communist, or whatever the latest brand name is. That is why the simplest solution to this problem is to build a wall. It will keep these neglectful parents from making bad choices to bring their kids across the border, only to have them ripped from their arms and forced to star in the next round of progressive propaganda. Until then, you have to
keep them separated.
For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton, and God bless the patriots making true sacrifices for their kids.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and streaming on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say, the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, we pulled that one. That one's, I think, about 4 years old.
But, you know, isn't it ironic what we presented to the public then on the SBN show as to what was happening and then and what is happening now? Is that called history? What goes around comes around.
I think it's called perspective, Tom,
because
not only are you presenting facts from that period of time, but what you're also at least giving some perspective on what you're not hearing.
Right, right.
From the Democrats and the media today.
All of our damn press closed up. They wait for the next election.
Well, and of course, you know, if you actually listen to some of the folks in the press, they can't get access. They can't get access to see what's going on.
He's in his bunker, and, man. What you talking about?
they can't even talk to the Border Patrol agents who are down there trying to protect the border.
That is so true, brother. That is so true. But, you know, be nice now, Tom. The vice president is on her way down there to straighten out all of that mess. So I guess she's got enough clout to handle it.
Well, they at least the narrative is they have been sending high-level administration officials down there for a while. I don't know how many high-level administration officials are down there, but the problem is they don't have enough places to keep these people. And here's my thing. You know, Tom, they're spending literally billions of dollars to house these illegals in hotel rooms.
Right.
When we have homeless veterans out there that they will not
Amen.
Take care of.
Amen. Yes. And they paid $90 million to put them in hotels. And our homeless vets are sleeping in the middle of the damn streets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's just because they're not going to vote the way they want to.
That, right. Hey. They're not voting right. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, hey, remember Vietnam Veterans Memorial Remembrance on the 29th. That's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!